When every year when we come to this parsha, Parshas Boy, there's a message here, it's actually in the Ramban at the end of the parsha, which is critical to Yahadus and to our lives, our personal lives as well as our life as a nation. And the Ramban explains that all of the different and mistaken philosophies that people of the world had at the time of Mitzrayim were dispelled by the miracles that took place in Egypt. Some people believe that there was no creator, the world was always here. Others believe that there was a creator, but he left. He doesn't, you know, created the world and then took a vacation. Others believe that he's still around, but he's not involved in the minute details of life. And others believe that he would not in any way communicate with human beings. And all of these beliefs, foreign beliefs, were dispelled, were disproven in the miracles that took place in Mitzrayim. Because in Mitzrayim, millions of people, not only the Klal Yisrael, but the Mitzrim as well, and they were, I'm sure, a massive nation, witnessed the Creator in action, the laws of creation, the laws of nature being turned upside down. Each one of the Makas did another miraculous event that no human being could imagine could take place, and certainly not with that magnitude so great without there being a creator. The creator is still alive and well. He's still very involved in what goes on in this world. He has, he pays attention to the smallest detail. As we know, all the Midrashim that tell us about how between a Jew and a Mitzri, if they were in the same room during Makas Choshech, one saw light and the other was frozen in darkness. If they drank from the same source of water, one was drinking blood and the other one water. So we saw the involvement of the Creator in the minutest details of human existence. And Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paroi and told him what's going to be before it happened, and told him when it was going to end, and carried on a dialogue with him, clearly indicating to everyone who saw this and knew this, that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Hashem. Hashem communicates with people. And therefore, all of these foreign ideas were dispelled and disproven by the miracles that took place in Mitzrayim. And that was critical for the Klal Yisrael. Because if the Klal Yisrael didn't have a clear picture of Hashem as the creator, of Hashem as still being very involved in this world, of Hashem as being involved in this world to the extent that every minute detail with any two people standing in the same room or drinking from the same cup, that is his involvement and his creative powers are intricately involved in every detail, and the fact that he speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he speaks to human beings, if without that, we'd be lost. We'd have no Torah, we'd have no Messiah, we'd have nothing. So this is very, very critical to the basis of Yahadus and to the dispelling all the strange and foreign ideas that people had at the time. But the Ramban continues and says that there's a message here that's much deeper. He says, and that's the message of Hashem's Hashgocha Protis in our world. He says, from the Nisim Gluyim, from these blatant, obvious, public, clear miracles that everybody saw and recognized Hashem through that, we can come to understand and to appreciate the hidden miracles that exist in our lives. The Hashgocha Protis, Hashem's every day and every minute involvement with every detail of our lives, to the extent that nothing happens without his involvement, and that if we look, we can find the most miraculous things taking place in our daily lives. And so many times we have done this and tried this, and people, as they start to think and as they start to focus, they come up with all kinds of unbelievable stories. And they see that, yes, not only is Hashem involved in the big things, not only was Hashem involved in the major events of history, not only did Hashem preserve the Klal Yisrael through close to 2,000 years of golus, of exile, and still we are here, you know, alive and well, doing the same thing. You know, I must have mentioned here before, but they once asked Einstein if he could meet a person from ancient history, who would he want to meet? And they probably thought he would ask for some scientist or something. And he says, I want to meet Moses. And I'd like to ask him if he really believed that for that thousands of years later, his people, his descendants, his Jewish people would still be studying and observing the same law, the same rules, the same Torah that he gave them thousands of years before. That to him was the biggest marvel. And you know, everybody knows this this essay from Mark Twain, how he marveled at the existence of the Jewish people today, that they're so involved in everything, they're so prominent on the planet. He says all of their oppressors, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, all of those who tried to oppress us, they're gone, and they can be found only in the museums and the history books. And all things are mortal but the Jew. Everybody else fades, but he remains. And his question was, what's the secret of his immortality? But besides all of this, we see that Hashem is involved with each and everyone's life and each and every detail. Many years ago, in one of the schools in the neighborhood, there was a contest. And it was a contest of the best personal or family story of Hashgacha Pratis, of Hashem's intervention into the personal, private details of our lives. And there was one young man who was very excited about the $100 prize that was being offered. Maybe 30 years ago, $100 was something to speak about. You know, today, I don't know how much you can do with that. So this young man went home, and he found the following story. And I believe that it changed his life. And it was like, he was shocked. He found out that in 1944, when the Nazis were about to invade Budapest, Hungary, his grandparents and their sons, I think they had four sons, had to make a life and death decision. It was a decision of either hiding, going into hiding and hoping that the Nazis will not find them, or running away, trying to get out of Hungary. And that was, you know, probably the best thing to do. But the problem was, they didn't have what they called then transit visas. A transit visa means that you have the permission to go from one country to the next in Europe. You needed permission to go from one country to the next. So they didn't have transit visas. That means when they get to the border, they're really not going to be able to get out and get into the next country. But they said they're going to take a chance anyway because hiding was too dangerous, and they're going to travel. They get on the plane. They get on the train, excuse me, and they're traveling to the border. Everything seemed fine. Finally, it comes to the border, and the train stops, and the border guards come in to inspect their papers. It's all over now because they don't have the ability to go to the next country. They won't be allowed in, and therefore they're going to have to go back home, and, you know, they only lost time, and they're going to have to hide after all, and who knows what could happen. Just as the border guard, this is the story this fella told, and I corroborated it with his uncles, who were young children at the time, but they remembered. Just as the border guard was coming to their compartment, an old man, they say he had a long white beard, that's what they remember, sat down next to them. The border guard comes and asks for the papers. The old man pulls out papers from his pocket, shows it to the border guard. The guard looks at the papers. He looks at the family. He gives the old man back the papers. The guard moves on to let them go. The old man picked himself up and disappears. And the whole family is alive and well today, 70 years later. This is, I don't know, 70 years? It was probably close to 70 years later. This is what happened. This young man was so excited. I'm alive today because God did such a miraculous thing. Who this old man was, nobody knows. Why he had papers that satisfied the border guard, nobody knows. But they're alive today from a personal, private miracle that took place to them. And to this young man, it changed his life because he saw, he says, I'm alive today. Hashem is involved with my life. And that is the key. And that, the Ramban says, is the most critical lesson that we can learn from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because if we don't recognize Hashem's involvement with every aspect of our lives, then what does anything mean? What are we doing? What are we here for? What's life all about? How can we live as Jews without realizing that Hashem is intimately involved in every aspect and in every occurrence in our entire existence? I just want to leave you with another story, which I think is significant in the sense that we have to look. In a seminar that we were doing in Los Angeles many years ago, there was a young man there. It wasn't religious. It was an outreach seminar. And he got very excited and enamored by the lecture about tefillah and bitochen. You can pray to Hashem, and Hashem helps. He gets involved. And if you put your trust in Him, then He will respond. He will not let you be disappointed if you have real trust in Hashem. Discussion, and he took it very seriously. 6 months later, I came back for another, like a follow-up, and he said, I have to tell you the following story. He says, I came home from the seminar, it was, I think, a Sunday night, and he says, my mother was very distraught. She says, she's a single parent, and she had to marry off my sister that week on Thursday night, and she was short $15,000 for the wedding. She didn't have the money. And she didn't know what to do. She was fit to be tied. She had no place to go to get the money. And I told her that, you know, I just came from this seminar, and they told me that Hashem gets involved in our personal lives. And if you put your trust in Him, that wow, He'll wondrous things can take place. And he says, and he tried to, you know, to strengthen her in that realization. Okay. So the next day, she had a business, a costume jewelry business, where she gets cheap jewelry she sells for $15, $20, $25, whatever it is. So somebody comes back, a lady who bought a necklace from her, and she's irate. She's fuming. She says, this is the fifth time I brought it back because the clasp breaks, and I want my money back. I'm not interested in you fixing it anymore. I want my money back. I had enough of this nonsense. Okay, she gives her $20 back, and fine, okay. But she's very curious why it kept on breaking every time she had it fixed. So she goes to her jeweler. She has someone, I guess, who does the craft work for her. And she says, what's going on with this? Why does it keep on breaking? And he takes out his little eyepiece, and he looks at it carefully. And then he says, I'll give you $15,000 for this necklace. It wasn't costume jewelry. It was real. It was worth $15,000. Of course, she sold it to him for $15,000, and she was able to make the wedding at the end of the week. This young man told me that he believes that had he not learned about these things, about tefillah and bitochen and Hashem's involvement, number one, he doubts very much whether this would have happened. And even if it would have happened, he wouldn't have noticed it. A blatant miracle. She needs $15,000. She has no way to get it. She has this stupid piece of costume jewelry that kept breaking for five times. And a lady finally comes back that week and says to her, I'm not interested. I want my money back. And he says, if that could have passed me by like nothing if I didn't pay attention. And we have to pay attention. If we start to focus on the events that take place in our lives and the timing of certain events, the following words of coincidence, accidents, lucky, happening, nature, all of these things will add up to one reality: Hashem's Hashgocha Protis, Hashem's involvement in our lives. But we have to look for it. If we don't look for it, it could pass us right by and we won't even see it. If we look for it, we'll be shocked and amazed at how often each and every one of us can see this Hashgochas Hashem, can see the hand of Hashem dealing with our specific, detailed, intricate, intimate issues in life. And the whole trick is to look. And every time we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we remember all of the miracles that took place over there, which we're supposed to remember on a daily basis. You know, the Tosefta says that in part of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, of remembering what happened in Mitzrayim, is not just Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yetzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, I'm Hashem, took you out of Mitzrayim, Le'yos Lachem Le'elokim, that I should be to you as a God. But the Tosefta says we have to remember, besides just Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have to remember the Makas Bechoiros, the plague of the firstborn dying. We have to remember Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. And we have to remember that when the sea split, they said, Mi komoicho boedam Hashem, they were mekabel lemalchu shemayim Hashem, yimloich le'olam voed, that Hashem is the melech and always will be. And those ingredients are important for us to remember every day. And they are mentioned in the Ezra Saviseinu, in the paragraphs that come after the Shema. So when we focus on these things, we could extrapolate, we could take from that the realization that Hashem is involved in every detail of our existence. And we could, number one, with that sense of confidence and trust, be zoiche to far more Hashgocha Protis than we would have. And number two, we could recognize that Hashgocha Protis and really develop a sense of appreciation and closeness to Hashem because of all of the personal involvement that He has, and the interest and the involvement and the care and the love that He takes in assuring so many good things happen in our lives.